There's a question I want each of us to ask ourselves today. And the question is, does Jesus matter? Yes, you heard me correctly. I want each of us to ask ourselves, does Jesus matter? And I don't want us to unthinkingly jump to the default answer of course. I want us to really think about this and struggle with this. And not just in the 7 to 10 minutes that I'm up here preaching. I want us to think about and struggle with this because I think we need to decide, each of us, for ourselves, if Jesus matters to us and to our lives and to our world. Jesus, it seemed, mattered quite a bit to Philip. Philip was from Bethsaida, a town on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, the same town where Jesus called Andrew and his brother Peter to follow him. Philip was so excited about his encounter with Jesus that he left everything he had right then and there and became a disciple of Jesus. And more than that, he went out to share his excitement and the news of what he had discovered with his good friend Nathanael. Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree, a description which has widely been considered to be an allusion to one studying the Torah. If you were a first century Jew and someone said he's sitting under the fig tree, you would understand that this person was studying scripture. The fig tree is also referred to in scripture on more than one occasion. You may remember the incident of Jesus cursing the fig tree for what to the untrained eye seemed like no good reason. Fig trees are trees that produce leaves and fruit at the same time, I have recently read. And the fig tree that Jesus cursed was covered in leaves, but no fruit, which represented, by example, the temple leaders. All leaves, no fruit, or all bluster, no depth. But back to Nathanael under the fig tree. Philip rushes up to him and announces, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth." Philip, revealing the human flaw of judgmentalism, retorts, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" To give a little perspective on this, Nazareth is about 50 miles from Bethsaida. It's not a world apart. It's not even a state apart. It's like one of us saying, "Can anything good come out of Sylacauga?" We can't deny that we have those same sort of thoughts about folks who live in areas that we do not have any personal connection with. And goodness knows, folks from different parts of the state and certainly from different parts of the country have that sort of opinion of us. Can anything good come from Alabama? Philip didn't begin to defend Jesus' credentials. It would have been pointless to do so. Think about it. Jesus doesn't really have any bona fide credentials. It's all hearsay. Philip responds to his friend, "Come and see." Nathanael was either curious or compelled. The result was he followed Philip to see Jesus. And Jesus knew him through and through and announced, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." We don't know what was going on in Nathanael's mind at this point, but it must have been really great to have Jesus tell you that you're upstanding, that there is nothing about you that is fake or deceitful. And naturally, Nathanael is a bit shaken by being so thoroughly known by Jesus. He asks, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus responds that he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. Then Jesus gives Nathanael a rather pointed question. "Do you believe? Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these. Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And for those of us who are steeped in Scripture, this will immediately bring to mind Jacob's ladder. But for many, this will be a huh moment. A bit of the backstory Jacob is a major player in the Old Testament. He stole his brother's birthright, which was a huge deal then, and became a patriarch in our tradition. To say that Jacob was an upstanding guy would be a bold-faced lie. He was not. His name means supplanter, which means one who wrongfully or illegally seizes and holds the place of another. And yet, God had Jacob in God's sights. And so no matter how irreproachable he seems to us, God sees Jacob as totally redeemable. So much so that God will make him a part of the reordering of the world. One night, very long night for Jacob, he lies down, his head on a stone, to sleep, and dreams of a struggle in which he is left limping. In the midst of his struggle, a ladder is let down from heaven with angels ascending and descending. Heaven and earth are in direct contact. This is the intended order of God, that heaven and earth are fluid, not separate. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as in heaven." This moment is Jacob's experience. In Jacob's experience is the moment that Jesus refers to Nathanael, the good scholar, the time in which the heaven and earth are in union. I think it's unfortunate that we don't have any more of this conversation between Jesus and the one in whom there is no deceit. Did Nathanael enter into a deep discussion with Jesus about the prediction of ascending and descending angels? Did he follow Jesus? Legend has it that he did. Perhaps part of what has led me to wonder with you if Jesus matters is the state of our union right now, and also a podcast that I've listened to this week that left me with a lot of questions. Let me say for the record, I do think that Jesus matters, and I think that Jesus matters a lot. And if I didn't think that Jesus matters a lot, I would not be here right now. Let me also say that currently there seem to be a lot of people who claim Christianity as their faith who don't really think that Jesus matters. And in saying that Jesus matters or doesn't matter, I mean to imply that when we check the Christian box on surveys that ask our religious preference, we understand that there is accountability for that, not smug security. Claiming to follow Jesus to be a Christian is not a security blanket for salvation, but a demand to care for the entire created order of the world and all that is in it. I recently came across a poem that a friend posted on Christmas Day that very much calls us to consider if Jesus actually matters to us and if the world sees that Jesus matters in our lives. That as we prayed in our collect, that we shine with his radiance. I'll share this poem with you. If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so that you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing, and goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all. And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't just do it so you could have dinner. But if you came here because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, if you came because you think that the kind of people who work the third shift doing stuff you'd rather not do might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bed would. If you came because you think that there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands, that they might be able to show you God. If you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants. if you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people, and so made them the first witnesses of saving the world. If you came for a story of reversals that might end up reversing you. If you came for a tale of adventure and bravery where strong and gentle people win and the powerful and violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives and the poor are raised up like kings. If you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, if you came to follow the light, even if it blinds you, if you came for salvation and not safety, then, my friends, you are precisely in the right place. So what are you here for? Does Jesus matter? Does this poem make us uncomfortable or energized or somewhere in between? Jesus matters in our world, in real and legitimate ways, not in Jesus is my BFF and Jesus loves me but hates you kind of ways, but in the message of love that Jesus has for the world, the whole world, which is that you and you and you and you and every one of us born of a human mother, every person born of a human mother matters to Jesus. The question is, does Jesus matter to us? And how do our lives reflect that to the world?